Thank you, Lord. Go with me, if you would, to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We're going to begin a new series today.
Thank you, Lord.
Obviously, there was a whole lot more to talk about on the previous one, the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. But I believe I'm impressed to begin this. And just like we prayed, are you believing with me?
Yes.
This has been working in me for months and months, but even up until a few minutes ago, I was still debating on the title. And you know how we do. We step out by faith. And we may change the title. You know, we may change some things as we go. But I'm really stirred in my spirit about this. I know there are answers to some of the biggest issues that people are facing. I know it. And so you said you're believing with me, right? And great victories can be had and tragedies avoided if we heed his words and his ways on this. So you ready? That was four people. Eh? But you four, I'm with you, and here we go. And the rest of the folks will get warmed up here in a minute. Hebrews 11, I tell you what, let's look at verse 1, and then we'll look further. With us in what we call word and faith circles, some of these verses are familiar. And you got to watch about verses being familiar, because you think you know what it says. And you might know a tiny, tiny, tiny part of what it says. And there's so much more you hadn't seen. So everybody said out loud, Lord, open our eyes to see what we've not seen in your word today. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you look at Young's literal translation, he doesn't say substance, he says confidence. And then instead of, well, there it is. The other one is, aren't our projector folks quick? I mean, dear me, they know sometimes before I do. That's the Holy Spirit there, yeah. Faith is of things hoped for. A confidence of matters not seen, a conviction. So both of these words are definitions of faith. Faith is confidence, and faith is conviction. You remember 1 John said, this is the confidence that we have in him, right? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, etc. So, said out loud, confidence, conviction. Now, skip down to the sixth verse. Verse 6. He said, but without faith. Now, what is faith? Confidence and conviction. But without faith, without that confidence, without that conviction, it is impossible to please him. Now, we're familiar with that phrase, but we need to see the extreme scope of this. Impossible means what? It's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? That's right. You are not going to please God. What? Without faith. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you work, no matter how long you pray, No matter how many scriptures you quote, no matter how much you give.
That's good. That's right.
Are y'all aware?
Yeah.
If there's no faith involved, it will not please Him. It will not be acceptable to Him. Without faith, it is impossible, which is not a word you hear used very often with God in the same sentence, right? We know it's impossible for Him to lie. That's one of the few other times you hear it. But impossible is a big word to use in connection with God, what's possible with Him or not. So faith is not optional. It is required by God Himself. And there's a lot of things we might be okay with or without. This is not one of them. Everybody said out loud, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Talking about pleasing God. Then he goes on to describe the faith that he just referred to. And he gives us the two main areas of faith that we have to have to please God. For he that comes to God must, there's that required, must believe. What? Two things here. Number one, that what? That He is. What does that mean? God is real. He exists. And He's God. If He's God, He knows. If He's God, He's got the ability. You can't be on the fence about this. This has got to be settled. Is there a God?
Yes.
That's a little bit weak.
Yes.
Huh? Is there a God?
Yes.
Actually, there is only one God.
Yes.
There is the God.
Yes.
So what about all the other religions? If they're true, the Bible is not. There are no other gods. There is one God, the Creator. Hallelujah. The Creator of the heavens and the earth, of human beings. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's one mediator. Only one. One mediator. There's no need in you praying to any other saints. There's only one mediator between God and men. The man, hallelujah, Christ Jesus. You can't be wondering about this. You've got to get it settled. Does God exist?
Yes.
Is He really God?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, most church-going people, they agree with that. They acknowledge that. Or they probably wouldn't go to church. Right? It's this next part where you see failure. What do you mean? He mentions two things. Number one, you must believe that God exists and that He is God. Number two, what? And you've got to believe something about what kind of God He is. Come on, can you see this? You've got to believe something about His character. That He is a faithful God. He's a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's a kind God. And if you reach out to Him and you're sincere, He will not leave you hanging. Hmm? And if you look to him and hold on to him and won't quit him, you will be rewarded. You will come out in a good way. You will be glad that you trusted in him. Nobody ever trusted in him and was disappointed. Has never happened. Never will. Now, there's been a lot of people who failed to trust in him and didn't come out good. And there's been a lot of people who lost their faith, who started out trusting and believing, only to get weary in well-doing and cast away their confidence and quit. Now, what happened with that? They either stopped believing one of these two things. As we sit here today, there are millions across the planet who are mad at God. Millions that used to go to church, used to read the word, used to pray, but not anymore. They quit. They quit church. They quit praying. What does that mean? They either decided that it does you no good to serve God, believe God, which means he's not a rewarder. Or you can't count on him to be. Not necessarily a rewarder. You may do everything you're supposed to do and still not get what you need. And many of them would tell you it happened to them. They prayed, they believed, they confessed, and it didn't happen. And so what has happened is many have become offended and lost their faith and lost their trust in him. Right now, that's the title of our new series. Trust in the Lord. Is that too simple? Or? Huh? Trust in the Lord. Why would you need to say that? Because many don't. And many who begin doing it no longer do. Read verse 6 for me again, Hebrews 11, 6. What did it say? If you become confused and mad and hurt and disillusioned and quit God, God still loves you. You'll still be okay. No, you won't. Without faith. Come on, are y'all listening? Without faith, you're not going to be okay. Without faith, you're not going to be rewarded. Without faith, you're not going to have God's help. Well, he'll love me anyway. He hasn't changed. But we haven't seen how serious it is to doubt him, to distrust him. You forfeit your miracles when you quit trusting him. You forfeit your help. And you deserve no help when you decide God can't be trusted. Are y'all listening? It's a very serious matter. Now I want you to notice these two areas that he mentions. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God, what? Must believe what? You must believe. I want you to notice that next word. You must believe what? He. Everybody say he. Not it. He is. And you must believe what else? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This is not faith in principles. This is faith in Him. The person of the living God. Who He is and what He is. It's faith in Him. Hallelujah. And every one of us, we need to be established in our heart, in our soul, that we trust our God.
Yes.
No matter what we see, no matter what we don't, what we understand, what we don't, what happens, what doesn't, we will never distrust our God. I want to hear you say it. I trust Him. I trust Him. This is not about principles. This is not about the laws of faith or the law of the Spirit of life or the five steps of this or the law of faith or... This is faith in a person. Faith in the Almighty God. What? Faith that He is. And faith in what He is. What kind of God He is. Because the devil attacks this. Oh, he attacks this relentlessly. And he's attacking from both sides. He's attacking God and he's attacking us. Nonstop. When you see what's going on and you understand it, it'll make you hate him. But it'll also be an eye-opening, awakening. We haven't taken this seriously enough, what's been revealed. I want to hear you say it out loud, I have faith in God. In God, I trust that He is the Almighty God, all knowledge, all wisdom, all understanding, all power. And He is a good God, a faithful God, a gracious, merciful, just, and right God. I trust Him. I'll trust Him in life. I'll trust Him in death. Every day, everywhere. In and everything.
Hallelujah.
We must be prepared that we'll not allow the enemy to take this trust from us. Because he is continually working to do that. To plant some kind of a thought or idea in your mind to make you feel, if nothing else, a little cool towards God. Or a little put out with God. A little miffed. A little unhappy with God. Where's He at? What's taking so long? Why didn't He? Now, listen to that language. What is that showing? That's showing you don't trust Him. It's what it shows. All the way to full-blown anger. I've seen people that said, you know, well, they said God did this and God did that and God took this from me. And if He did, you know, to blank with Him. And you'll never see me darken a church door again. And they left and didn't come back for decades. I've seen it. Some of the very people that were here 20 years ago. Some of our main people worked hard, loved God, and their mother didn't receive their healing. And they left. They quit. What that revealed is they never trusted Him to begin with. They never trusted Him to begin with. Because the first time they didn't understand, and the first time they were their faith was challenged, they folded. If they weren't getting what they wanted, they're out of there. Then that means they never trusted Him to begin with. And in order to be mad at God, you have to believe lies. You got to believe lies. I'm talking about a believer especially. In order for a believer to be mad at God, you got to believe lies. Millions do. They don't understand what's going on. In order to get revelation and understand, you must look outside the church bubble. What do you mean? I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but you're believing with me, and I hope you can come back, because this is going to take a little while to get through everything here. But and that would only be with God's help. But what was that, Lord? Go to Revelation 12 while I'm getting oriented again on that. Like I said, there are a lot of people mad at God. And it is so foolish. It is so ignorant. I mean, just think about what you said. Mad at who? How do you imagine that's going to turn out? Upset with God. Yeah. Huh? Mad at God. You show how ignorant you are. How confused you are. Huh? And if you're quick to believe a lie about somebody, that means you weren't committed to them to start with. You know, we're on TV and more people see you that way, and we've had, you know, just bizarre stuff that people say and do. And some of the people that have blessed me the most are my friends or fellow ministers that said, so-and-so was saying that this and this happened with you guys in your ministry, and I told them, I don't believe that. I know him. That blessed me. Come on, can you see that? That's somebody that does trust me. But if somebody that you don't even know tells you something bad and you just immediately believe it without even trying to check it out, then you are not a friend. You didn't trust them to start with. You're too ready to believe something bad. You're too quick to jump on the bandwagon against them. No. And with God, the Bible said, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. It goes on to say that you might be proven, you know, and shown right and righteous when you are judged. See, people are judged. That's Romans 3, I guess. People are judging God all the time. And they're judging Him uncaring. They're judging Him cruel. They're judging Him unfaithful. He wasn't there for me. Thank you, Lord. He brought it back to my remembrance just then. People say, well, why do bad things happen to good people? To say that shows you believe a lie. Is everybody awake? Yes. To even ask that question, those you believe a lie. What do you mean, Brother Keith? You believe, if you say that and you mean what you say, you think God is a respecter of persons. Well, why do bad things happen to good people? What would them being good have to do with it? See, you think God plays favorites when the Bible very clearly says he does not. He is no respecter of persons. What does that mean? It means he doesn't do things for people based on who they are. He's going to do what's right, no matter who you are, no matter who you are to him or how much he loves you. He's still going to do what's right and what's just and what's fair. And to shake a fist and go, why, God, why? That's not asking for help. That's an accusation against God. And you deserve to perish. Are you listening? You deserve to perish. You'll just be destroyed with everybody else that believes lies. Because God has never let anybody down. Never has. Not going to start with you. Y'all going to help me preach this or not? I'm telling you. There's a world of stuff we haven't understood. There's a world of stuff we haven't seen and understood what's going on or why it did or why it didn't. But you can know this. Your God is real. And he's a good God. I said he's a good God. He's a good, good, good God. He's a good God. And whatever he did or didn't do, he was right. I said he was right. He was fair. He was just. Whether you understood it or you didn't. Can you trust him? Come on, church. Can you trust him? You're a fool if you don't. I said you're a fool if you don't. And if you let the devil convince you to be mad at God, hurt at God, offended at God, you're being a fool. He's a liar. The devil's a liar. Huh? He's a liar. There's a lot we don't know, but we can settle this today. I know this. God is real. Hallelujah. He's real. And he's a rewarder. I said he's a rewarder of those that sincerely seek him. He's a good God. And if you look to him, you reach out to him, you hold on to him, you will not be let down. You will not be disappointed. You will not be. You will not be. If you quit him, if you give up, if you get mad, well, you'll bear your own ignorance and foolishness. You'll be destroyed with everybody else. And it's your own fault. Somebody say, not me. I'm not that stupid. I will trust God. I will always trust my God. Go to Revelation. Woo. Well, we're off to a good start here, eh? Yeah. Yeah, the Lord's helping us. Revelation 12. I mentioned before that in order to have some understanding of what this world is, what this life is, what's going on, you got to look outside the church bubble. And people say, well, why do bad things happen to good people? That's not a good question. That shows you believe something wrong. The question is, why do bad things happen to anybody? Because it's the same answer, no matter who you are, what you are. Why? And one of the worst doctrines, it's a doctrine of demons that has been propagated through the church all over the earth for generations now, is that God is in control of everything. And this is also the reason why, believing this, is the reason why so many have wound up mad at God. But the fact is, God made the earth the way He wanted it. Perfect. No curse, no death, no pain, no sorrow, no lack. That's His will. He never changes. Adam and Eve sinned. They did the very thing we're talking about. They didn't trust God when He told them, stay away from that tree, stay away from that, don't eat it. They didn't trust Him. Them, Eve going and taking of the fruit and giving to Adam and him eating, that wasn't an accident. That wasn't because they had a lapse and didn't understand what was going on. No, they chose to believe God's lying enemy more than they trusted what God told them. And they lost everything. And so then the curse came. And nothing that is of the curse because of sin and death could ever be the will of God. If it came as a result of sin and the curse, it can never be the will of God for anybody, anywhere. So do we see the curse in the earth? Do we see death? Do we see pain? Yes. Is any of it the will of God?
No.
None of it's the will of God. And yet, majority of church-going people, they don't believe what I just said. They don't believe that. So there are all kind of things happening in this earth because the Bible said, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan now is the god of this world. He's the one controlling most of what's happening down here. Did you hear that or not? 1 John says, the whole world lies under the sway and control of darkness. Is that true or not? That's what the Bible says. Jesus, when He was alive on the earth, He referred to the devil as the prince of this world. Called Him that more than once. You know, when the devil took Jesus in the wilderness and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, He said, this has been delivered to Me, and I give it to whoever I want to. The devil told Him that. Somebody said, well, that ain't true. It is true. If it wasn't true, it wouldn't have been a temptation. Jesus would have known if it wasn't true. No, God is not controlling everything that's going on down here. Most of what is happening down here, the devil and his kingdom, his bunch, are manipulating and controlling. And that's why you see death. You see stealing and killing and destroying. It's everywhere. And none of it is God's will.
Amen.
I said none of it. No measure or degree of sickness will ever be the will of God. No measure or degree of poverty will ever be the will of God. No degree or measure of oppression or confusion or heaviness or ever could be the will of God. Why? Because God didn't create that. That came as a result of the fall. It came as a result of sin and the resulting curse. God's will is life, freedom, hallelujah, blessing, abundance for everybody, all the time. He doesn't change. We've got to look outside the church bubble and look at the whole world. What's going on? And why? Who's doing it? And why? And how? And one of the big things you got to get clear on is God is not your problem. Huh? God is not withholding any good thing from you. God is not in your way. But there is an adversary. There are a lot of churches in this country and all over the world you can go to. You can go there for 10 years regularly and never hear a word about the devil. In a lot of groups, you would think there is no devil. Or if there is, it's not relative, doesn't affect us. Reckon who came up with that doctrine? This is one, and this is our first lesson in this, and so this we've already talked about one of the big ones here. Trust God, right? And here's another point. A second point is you have an enemy. You have an adversary that you need to be aware of. Not scared of, but aware of. The Bible tells us to be on our watch, to be alert, to be aware, to be diligent, because he's going about seeking whom he may devour. Now that lets you know he cannot just indiscriminately destroy everybody. Thank God for that. Right? But it also lets you know that he is continually working towards that end. Do we know how it works? And do we know how to prevent it? There's some he may not devour and destroy. Let me see about any may nots in the room. We can change the name of the church. It's the May Not. May Not Church. In Sarasota too, yeah. Yeah. Revelation chapter 12. The Bible said that, verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. I have no dragons in my house. I don't wear clothes with dragons on it. Verse 8, they prevailed not. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The devil doesn't win. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. I want to stop right here. When does this happen? Has it happened? Is it going to happen? Listen to Ephesians. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and what else? Huh? Wicked spirits in heavenly places. So they're still there. Are you listening? Yeah. They haven't been cast down yet. This is something we need to think about. And you say, well, I don't know about it. Well, why did you assume the other? Where is it at in the Scripture? Keep reading. That's all right if you need to think about it. Study on it. Look at it. Their place was not found anymore in heaven. Are there at current, as far as we know, according to passages like Ephesians, wicked spirits in heavenly places right now? Yeah. Yeah, there is. That's beyond the atmosphere of this planet. Brother Hagin said that in that the vision where the Lord taught him about the devil and demons and evil spirits, he talked to him about principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. But the vision was concluding, and he saw that, and he had said nothing to him about wicked spirits in the heavenlies. And so he said, Lord, what about that? You didn't say anything. He said, the rulers of the darkness of this world are the highest level you have to deal with. He said, I'll deal with the others.
Thank you, Lord.
So that's what he said he told him. And the rulers of the darkness of this world are the highest level of the enemies, emissaries that we would deal with because we're on the planet. Well, then these wicked spirits are in places of authority in the kingdom of darkness above our planet and even above the atmosphere. Now, see, this is something that you don't talk much about. You don't hear much about because, what I'm saying, you got to get your eyes outside the church bubble. Space is real. And you, one of the things that they keep talking about, and I saw they're launching a new telescope that's exciting. And one of the things they want to look for is what they call dark energy. What does that mean? Can't see it. And they're like, it's everywhere. Yeah. It's everywhere out there. Yeah, it is. Dark matter, dark energy. Most of what's out there, you can't see with the telescope anyway. You can't see it with the naked eye. And people say, you know, is there life out there? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we have no idea. There's a whole, scope of beings that are not human. Angels, cherubim, seraphim, the devil, his crew, all of that. There's one devil, and there are many demons. And these demons now, when you say the word, a lot of times people cringe because they've watched too much movie, too much Hollywood. The real thing is nothing to do with Hollywood. Most of the demon and horror shows were inspired by guess who? So they're going to portray themselves as monsters that humans can't even cope with. It's a lie. I said it's a lie. They have been stripped. They have been brought to naught. They are defeated foes. Doesn't mean they don't exist. Doesn't mean they're not active. And most of the world are not believers and have no authority over the devil. And so the enemy is just controlling millions of people through these levels of darkness. So keep reading. Are you here? Verse 9, that great dragon was cast out. Now, if you read the whole book of Revelation, most of what you read here has not happened yet. It is prophecy. It is John saw it as though it's happening right now in front of him. But it was being revealed to him what was to come. And most of what you see there is still in front of us. The great dragon was cast out. There's coming a time when all of them are going to lose their lofty places in the heavenlies. And they're going to get kicked down where snakes belong, in the dirt. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. What's the world's problem? Not God. Not God. This despicable being. Now these two names we need to know about. Devil and Satan are two of his main names. And if you look up the words, it tells you a lot about who he is and what he is. The word devil, and you know, King James will talk about sometimes devils, and that's not exactly accurate. Usually when it says devils, like in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the word is demon. There's only one devil, and there are numerous evil spirits. But it said the devil, that word literally means accuser or slanderer. And this tells you all kind of things about him. It also tells you why there's so much slander and cussing and blasphemy in the earth. Have you noticed how bad language has gotten? That's the devil. That's all him. He's full of it. He's full of cursing. He's full of calling people names and running people down and you know, disrespecting him. That's him. He is accuser and slanderer. That's him. And the next one is Satan. And that word literally means adversary. Adversary. Or we could say enemy. The one who is arrayed against you. The one who is against you. I know this is a big part of why we're doing this series. We need to wake up.
Yeah, that's it.
Huh? And not let the enemy do what he's been doing. To me, to you, right? Now we can't control the whole world, but we got to get awake of what's going on. Said out loud, I have an adversary, an enemy, a slanderer, accuser. It's not a bad confession. It's a reality. I need to every day be aware that somebody's trying to hurt me. We don't like to think that. But how many thank God for this church? I do too. Do you know that since before we opened the doors, the devil's been trying to destroy this church? Huh? Destroy Phyllis and me. Huh? And everybody that helps us. And every day since then. And we're still here.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hey! Thank you, Lord. By the goodness of God. By the grace of God. I was reading the other day how many scores of thousands of churches closed their doors in the U.S. in the last less than 12 months. They close their doors. No more. They're done. No church there anymore. Well, except for God's grace and mercy, that could have been us. But it's the enemy. that wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy, he's tried to destroy your marriage. He's tried to destroy your children. Every day, he is on this, and he's assigning his spirits against you. And what follows in the verse shows how he does it. And this is what we got to be aware of. Keep reading it. Go back to the start of that verse. That great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Does he exist?
Yes.
Yeah. Is this real?
Yes.
Are there wicked spirits in heavenly places?
Yes.
In this kingdom of darkness? And what has been his accomplishment? Deceive the whole world. The whole world believes lies. Well, think about it. How many millions of people believe lies of false religion? Or believe lies that they learned in university that there is no God? Or believe lies of false science, evolution, and these kind of things? I don't know if you've done any reading about evolution. I don't recommend that you do. But it's been an annoyance of mine for some time. They've changed their theory a half a dozen times in the last 100 years. It is an unproven theory. It can't be true because God made man. You can't believe both. No, man did not develop from a more primitive specimen. Didn't happen. It's taught as science to our children. That's part of Satan deceiving the whole world. It's a lie. Absolutely a lie. Keep reading. He deceived the whole world and was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And they know when that happens. They are done, brother. They got a tiny amount of time, and then it's look out abyss. Verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, which we're a part of, and the power of his Christ for the what? The accuser of our brethren. Now see, he just got through calling him the devil and Satan. And the word devil means slanderer or accuser. Because that's what he is and he does. Which, if you understand this, you never want to do this. You never want to accuse other people. Don't let the devil use your mouth in accusing others. Say it out loud, I'm not an accuser. I'm not a belittler. I'm an edifier. Said, the power of his Christ for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Which what? Accused them before our God day and night. Is that what he's been doing? Is that what he does? Is he doing that today? Why? Why? Why would he do this? He wouldn't do this if it didn't accomplish what he wants. Why does he do this? Before our God. We have a book that gives us a behind the scenes look at this. The book of Job.
Yeah.
Hmm? That for some reason, a lot of people have decided is not relevant to us. Oh, but it is. What the devil did to Job is what he's been doing for centuries now. And what he's doing, trying to do against us right here today. We're going to take some time. So if you want to kind of get ready, read the book of Job. Yeah. Because I'm going to be talking about it. I'm going to be bringing some things out, looking at a number of things. And what we see is the Bible said there was a day when the sons of God came before God and Satan came also, the adversary. Now, a lot of people read that and they think it's a fairy tale. They don't think this is real. And that, well, God wouldn't let that happen. The Bible said it happened. Whether you understand it or whether you don't. God wouldn't let those evil spirits hang out in the heavenly place. Ephesians says they are. Hmm? And so God says to Satan, what does Satan mean? Adversary. Where are you coming from? From going up and down in the earth, going to and fro. Have we got any New Testament scriptures that sound like that? The devil is going what? To and fro, looking for what? I mean, we see this in Peter and in James. He's doing the same thing. And the King James says, have you considered my servant Job? That, if you look at other translations, that's not exactly what it said. It says, have you set your heart on my servant Job? Have you set your heart on? This is exactly what the Lord said about Peter. Satan has desired to have you. Then he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you. Well, come on, can you see this? See, this comes right back to what kind of God do we have? See, people have believed lies throughout this whole Job account. They're like, they've got God going, hey, have you thought about attacking Job? Here he is. Don't you want him? No. No.
No.
No. Like always, God's ahead of him.
Yeah.
Way ahead of him. Come on, can you see this? Basically, he's saying, I see you've been eyeing my servant. I see you got your heart set on him. Now, I want you to listen to this next part. What does Job say? He said, well, does Job serve you for nothing? You've set a protection around everything he's got. You've blessed the work of his hands. But put forth your hand and touch what he's got, and he will curse you to your face. Now let's just stop right here. We've read that and heard some of that and not understood. This is what Revelation 12 is talking about. What's he doing? He's accusing Job to God. Now here's the thing I don't think we've understood. There was merit in his accusation, or God would not have heard it. Are y'all awake or not? Hmm? The accusation was, if Job doesn't have all the stuff, he will quit you. He will reject you. If Job doesn't have your protection, if he doesn't have this, if he doesn't have that, if he's not personally benefiting, he will quit you. The enemy has used that same accusation millions of times. And sadly, millions of times, it's been true. And what God, and you can see how big this is, but the Bible said God is known by his judgments. You might say it like this, the buck stops with him. There is a God. I said there is a God. And somebody has to have the final word in what's just and what is not just and what is fair and what is not fair and what is right and what is not right, and it's him. I said it's him. And he's no respecter of persons. He won't pervert justice for you nor me, no matter how much he loves us, no matter how much it would grieve him to see us be attacked or destroyed. But he's not going to play favorites. Because the whole thing with the enemy, he don't want to admit it. But he knows. He's already been judged. He's got no hope. He's got no future, no salvation. But he's not dumb. He's been around for we don't even know how long. And he knows how things work. And he's been around the throne room of God. We don't know all the history there. But he knows what questions to ask. He knows what case to build. What's he looking for? He wanted access. He wants to be able to get to him. Because he couldn't. And when the Lord says, he's in your hand. But notice this. But don't kill him. Can you see what the righteous judge is doing? He's saving him as much as he can. Can you see that? He's saving. He's saying, but don't do this. Okay. But somebody said, why would he say okay? Now here's where you either trust him or you don't. Is it his will to see his people destroyed? No, no, no. But what? Why are people destroyed? Numerous reasons. Not listening to God. Not believing God. Not obeying God. Not repenting. Judging others. Not judging yourself. Come on, y'all listening? A number of things here. And what will happen if you won't judge yourself? You'll be judged. And what happens is if you're judged, the enemy is allowed access. And so he immediately, what do we see immediately when that happened? I mean, people came and stole and killed and destroyed. They stole Job's livestock. A storm came and killed his kids. Who did all that? Not God. Not God. Not God. Here's the good news. Ready for some good news? Yes. Go to James in closing, I think. In the last chapter, a couple of chapters of Job, Job repented. I mean, he really repented. He humbled himself and he said, I have spoken once, but I'm shutting my mouth. And he said, Job said some harsh things against God. He accused God of being unfair. He accused God of being unjust. And he had to repent for that. But he did, wholeheartedly. And do anybody know what happened after he repented? And after he, oh, come on, help me out. After he repented, after he prayed for his friends, God completely delivered him, healed him, gave him twice what he, oh, come on, can you see this? Our great God was able to say, okay, that's it, stop. You got no right, you got no access to him anymore. That's it. You're done. And Job completely recovered and was twice as blessed as he was before the thing started. So none of this poor old Job stuff. Ain't no poor old Job. It's really rich Job and then twice as really rich Job. James 5 tells us what we're supposed to get out of the book of Job. Tells us. James 5 and 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. You know, this is the last chapter of James. In the first chapter of James is how he started out. Let patience have her perfect work. Remember that? That you may be perfect and entire. Isn't that how Job wound up? That's how he wound up. Be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. That's what's going on with the whole earth. Generation after generation, God is getting a small remnant percentage-wise out of each generation that he can't, will be able to count as his for eternity future. And we're not done with that yet, but we soon will be. Aren't you glad you're a part of them that trust him? Verse 8. Be you also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Keep going. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold what? The judge is standing before the door. Do anybody in this house trust the judge? All his judgments are faithfulness and righteousness and truth and good. He's the only one qualified to be the judge. And he gets it right every time in what he does and what he doesn't do. But him passing a judgment that allows the destroyer access in no way pleases him or is his perfect will. It's just justice that has to be. In verse 10, take my brethren the prophets who've spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of affliction or oppression or pressure and patience. Notice he keeps mentioning this word, patience. Patience. Now this is the word for endurance. Endurance. Through faith and endurance, we obtain the promises. Verse 11, we count them happy, which what? There's the word. Endure. You have heard of the patience or the endurance of Job. Now, Job got a lot of stuff wrong. He said a lot of stuff he shouldn't have said. He had to seriously repent. The one thing he did get right, he wouldn't quit.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, come on, somebody help me out. He wouldn't quit.
Yeah, that's right.
He would not.
Right.
Even when he was wrong, he wouldn't quit.
That's right.
But when he found out he was wrong, he'd repent.
Yeah.
Huh?
Thank you,
But he would not, you know, when his wife came and said, what are you waiting on? Just curse God and die. Isn't that a coincidence? That's exactly what the enemy accused. And now his wife is saying exactly what the devil said. But he wouldn't. He wouldn't just curse God and die. Endurance. That's our part. We trust God. And we won't stop trusting God. No matter what, we will not stop trusting God. If you ever want to know what Brother Keith is doing today, oh, come on, help me out. Huh? If you ever want to know what's Brother Keith doing, Brother Keith's trusting God today. What will Brother Keith be doing tomorrow? Same thing. Trusting his God. What does it mean, I trust him? I'm not just talking about trusting principles of faith or authority. I'm talking about I believe in the person. I believe in the being, the person of Almighty God. I trust his knowledge. I trust his wisdom. I trust his understanding. I trust his power. And I trust his covenant commitment to me and mine and those that are joined with me. And if I mess up, he'll still have mercy on me and he will help me and he'll restore me. But I won't quit trusting him. I'm not going to backslide and leave church and quit the ministry and act like a fool and get mad at God. I am not. I am not. I will not. I will endure. My trust in him will endure. In this life and in death and past this life. We will live trusting him. We will die trusting him. Hallelujah. We'll continue in eternity. Trusting him. And that's what saved Job. That's what saved him. You see, happy. That's where we started out singing about happy day, didn't we? Happy those which endure. And you have heard of the patience or endurance of Job. And what else did you see? The end of the Lord. That the Lord is very pitiful. That has to do with compassionate and kind and of tender mercy. I mean, anything that dares to suggest to you that God is uncaring or unkind or not merciful, I mean the slightest hint of it, you know, is a lie from the enemy of God, from the adversary. Right? From the accuser. See, he's lying to God about you. Well, he's lying to you about God. He does it all the time. Well, where is God? Where he's always been? He ain't going anywhere. Why didn't God? Or why did God let? Or how come God? I don't claim to know it all. I am Ned in the first reader. I hadn't been alive but that long. I am his little child. I don't know. A lot of answers are just, I don't know. But I know this. Come on, stand up with me. I know this. I know this. I can trust my God. He's a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a faithful God. He's a gracious God. He's a kind. What was the end? Job, they tell us the whole account of Job probably happened in less than a year. Maybe 9 months. Job had a bad year. Really? Bad? Right? Why did he have a bad year? Because the devil got access to him. He's going about to and fro, just like he was then, seeking what? Who he can get to. And if he can get to them, he's going to steal, kill, and destroy. How did he get to them? Here's the thing we may not always understand. He seeks judgment against that would give him access to. Are you going to believe with me to get understanding of these things? Beyond where we have been. Go ahead, lift your hand. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you, 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 thank you. Go ahead, sing that. Thank you.